on the shot clock, just bustles his way in, and Golding puts it up. Whoa! What a start! Randall trying to answer back, fleet of foot, floating that one up off the glass from Randall. He's going to pull up in front of Wagstaff. He is feeling it at the moment, Jerome Randall.
Oh, from the mile out!
Oh,
you can't believe it!
The best player in the NBL is Chris Golden.
Hello and welcome to the first edition of the 2016-2017 Box Score, the NBL Dream Team podcast. I'm your host, Steve Chalmers. Back at it for another year is my partner, Dean Zardo. Dean, how are we?
Fantastic. It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. We were a little nervous for a little while because Dream Team wasn't up and about just a week prior to season tip-off.
They haven't been very podcast-friendly, have they?
No, they
haven't given us much time.
No, they certainly haven't. We've had all our notes prepared and written, and then they finally opened it for us and throwing a few spanners in the works, didn't they?
They did indeed. They did indeed.
So let's have a look at some major changes to start with. Obviously, with the NBL, Townsville Crocodiles are out of the competition, replaced by the Brisbane Bullets. Not a bad move, but sad to see the Crocs go.
Indeed. They've been around, they're fighting for a long time, let's put it that way. But to see them finally bow out, it's a bit sad, like you said.
Yeah, it certainly was. We had the Olympics not too long ago. Distant future now for the Aussies because we didn't get that medal we were all after, but it was certainly a gallant effort.
Controversial.
And some of those stud players have returned to the NBL. Obviously, Cameron Bairstow is a returnee. Damian Martin's coming back for another gig. Chris Golding's coming back for another gig. We've also got some stud Australian recruits in tow. Brad Newley and David Anderson back with us in Australia.
It's going to be a good season, I think. just judging by the talent that we've got down here, it's going to be a very good season. It makes it harder, obviously,
mm-hmm.
for Dream Team, but it's going to be very, very good to watch.
Certainly does. These eight NBL teams are stacked this season, and probably the toughest one of them all in terms of major changes for the NBL Dream Team-wise, the import restriction's been lifted from 2 to 3.
Just makes it even tougher, doesn't it, really? You got a whole bunch of imports now who are all the same starting price. We haven't really seen a lot of. And you got to try and make a decision on who's going to be good and who's not going to be so good. So
that's right. Obviously, the Australian Basketball Challenge, the ABC, was a good look. We had some preseason contests prior and after the ABC. But as you said, 3 imports per team. That could be 24 players all starting on that $116,000 price. And it's all about picking the right one, isn't it?
Exactly right. It could. I know it's early days, but it could make or break a season if you stick around with someone too long or they go down in price or they have a couple of stinkers to start off. So
we like to obviously have a plan in Box Score each week. Obviously, first edition will be looking a little bit different because we'll go through team by team, preview who you should be picking up for the start of round one next week. Let's kick it off with the A to Z, Adelaide 36ers. Obviously, important early. They've got round one and round two doubles, which yep. means 2 games in the one weekend, which is important for NBL Dream Team if you're just starting off as a rookie. Mitch Creek, let's start with him. He's yep. now the captain of the Adelaide 36ers, had a very important Australian Basketball Challenge, scored 142 points in his 3 games. He's got a DPP, which is dual position player, which means he can play both guard and forward positions. What are you liking about him?
Well, he's relatively cheap for what he showed in the ABC. He's 111K from memory. He's always starts around that price, doesn't he? And he's always a risk because he's an awkward price. He's nearly an import price. And you know, you kind of know what you get from him. Was it last season or the season before? We had a really good first half of the year
mm-hmm.
and kind of tailed off after that. But he looks impressive. He looked impressive in the ABC. And if he can continue that form, then he's going to be a pretty handy pickup, especially early. Like you said, they got the back-to-back doubles to start.
Yeah, that's right. Another player who's returning this season, he's the vice-captain of the Sixers this year, Jerome Randall. That little pint-sized point guard didn't have a great preseason, but we all know what he's like. That second half of last season was absolutely electric.
I wouldn't take too much notice of his average of 20 in the ABC. We all know what he's capable of. He's mm-hmm. he's a genuine superstar, and he can put up fantasy points like you would not believe. So
he's got a hefty price tag of $158,000, a lot more expensive than your usual imports starting out. One to look at in round one?
I think if you've got the cash, if he's your premium guard, rather than someone like, you know, Lish and well, I think Lish is the only one above him, isn't he, in the guards? But
yeah.
But if you're looking to spend money elsewhere and here's your premium, then it's not the worst decision in the world. But it is, like you said, a bit of a risk given he might take a little while to warm up based on those preseason scores. But once he's going, he's capable of 80s, 90s.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I'm going to pass on him in round one because I just like to see what he's capable of. Obviously, not the greatest preseason. Just a slight concern for me. But let's move on to the other two imports for the Adelaide 36ers. We've got the high school phenomenon, Terence Ferguson, 16 average in the ABC. Is it just a matter of finding some time for the kid?
Yeah, I'm going to definitely hold off on Ferguson. I think he's athletic. Obviously, he showed that, and he could provide some, you know, some handy points on the glass and blocks wise and that kind of stuff. But coming straight out of high school, first professional season, probably a risk.
The toughest thing is you don't get many points for fast break dunks.
That's exactly
which is what the crowds are coming to see him for. It's what he's here for. He's obviously trying to get, you know, a repertoire to get himself into the NBA, but probably not the perfect position for NBL Dream Team.
I think there's better options, put it that way.
Yeah, certainly out there. Eric Jacobson is the third and final import coming out from college. Big guy, but he was injured throughout the preseason. So what do we make of him? Is he a wait-and-see kind of guy?
I think definitely another wait-and-see. And a lot of the imports, the new imports, are going to be wait-and-see, obviously. They're all around the same price. You might give them a week to see what they're capable of and then bring them in because the price isn't going to change, obviously, after round one. But I think especially the fact that he's been injured and he's missed a chunk of time before the season, then his preparation's probably not that good, especially coming into a new team. And again, there's probably better options that you can find there.
I know we're spending a bit of time on the Adelaide 36ers, but it's certainly important with back-to-back doubles to open the season. Daniel Johnson, you love him or you hate him in terms of NBL Dream Team. Some call him soft, some call him, you know, the next MVP. He's probably closer towards an MVP in Dream Team sorts.
Yep.
37 average in the ABC. He's a consistent performer, isn't he?
He is, and he's always a premium, and you're going to pay a premium for him, obviously. He's 160-odd K, 163. So you're going to pay a premium, but generally speaking, you're going to get what you paid for. He does have the odd stinker, but most of the time when one of us has him as captain or something like that. But he's well capable of putting up massive numbers, and he seems to work. Obviously, he's comfortable in the Adelaide system now. He's been there for a few years, so there's a lot to like about Johnson, especially with the back-to-back doubles. You don't want to spend the money on Ogilvy, especially with the single coming up in the first round. At centre, Johnson might be a good option there, or obviously one of the forward spots. So
obviously we looked at those premiums in Daniel Johnson, Jerome Randall, maybe Mitch Creek to a point, but let's look at some value for the Adelaide 36ers, which is what NBL Dream Team's all about. It's what wins you championships. Anthony Drimmick, Rookie of the Year favourite, only averaged 11 in the preseason tournament, but he's one to look out for. He's certainly going to be getting some minutes in the Adelaide system. The other one is Brendan Tayes. Logged a lot of minutes in the preseason. Don't expect too much from him in the regular season, but certainly for his price at about 49, he's well worth the risk and something to look at.
Well, given that he's not a rookie, Tayes, and he's rookie priced at 49K, there's a lot less risk involved there because you know Joey's going to put him in and give him some minutes, and that, you know, he's comfortable there in that system, like Johnson, like those guys that have been there for a while. So there's no danger that he's not going to play, I wouldn't have thought, at all. Or, you know, only play when it's a blowout or something like that. So he's going to be in the rotation somewhere. So he's going to be on court. And if he can produce something close to, like, the points per minute that he's got the 29 average there in the preseason, then you're going to be getting, you know, a pretty solid, when I say solid, for his price, you know, 8 points or something that contribute to your team, and his price might rise a little bit.
All right, let's take a look at now at the Brisbane Bullets. They've got two doubles in the first 3 weeks, obviously in week one and week three. So they're kind of important to start your season. Obviously, the main news here is that Cameron Bairstow injured himself at the Olympics with a shoulder. expected to miss the start of the season. Just quietly, he is an immediate lock once he's back to being healthy. $60,000 in the dream team. Are you kidding me?
Absolute lock. Once he is fit, I could not believe that a former NBA, when I say former, I know he was on the roster rather than in the 10.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, you don't get cut from the NBA or you don't make the NBA in the first place for no reason. And, you know, obviously he's just come back from the Olympics as well, part of the national team, and he's there at 60K.
Unbelievable. Yep. But we move on to some more healthier players. Torrey Craig averaged 46 at the Australian Basketball Challenge. Year three in the NBL, obviously spent two seasons in Cairns under Aaron Fearn, and in my opinion, was a little bit underused in Cairns. Fit the system pretty well, but obviously was just in that system a lot. I think he's got a big chance to flourish in Brisbane under Lemanis.
Absolutely. Like, I think the thing with Brisbane this season is they're going to have a lot of guys who might not be, you know, the most, like, Torrey Craig's a fantastic player, but he's not the most dominant import in the league. He does his part. He's very talented, but he's not the most dominant import in the league. But I think, like you said, that's got to do a lot to do with how he was used in Cairns rather than his skill set. And in Brisbane, if that ball movement, like we saw in the Olympics from the Boomers, is anywhere to be seen, then guys like Craig and obviously his American mate Beal are going to, I think, benefit from that. So,
well, that's right. Torrey Craig won himself an MVP in the New Zealand NBL not too long ago, so obviously can light it up at any given time. We move on to his import mate, Jermaine Beal. Obviously spent a couple of years in Perth, now over to Brisbane after being released. Always been an NBL dream team risk, just due to his shooting percentage and the way he can get him up in a hurry.
Definition of risk, I think, is Jermaine Beal.
Obviously can light it up on any given night, but just depending on which night it's going to be, because there's nothing really in between. It's either great or it's not great.
And I think at his price, there's probably better mid-priced options than taking a punt on Jermaine Beal at 100K.
Yep.
Wait till he bottoms out, I think, for him.
So we speak about Cameron Bairstow with that shoulder injury. That gives guys like Tom Jervis, Daniel Kickett, Mitch Young a look in. Tom Jervis, 45 average at the Australian Basketball Challenge. Is he probably the first guy to look at before Kickett, or is Kickett probably just ahead of Jervis?
I think Kickett is the better option, but without Bairstow, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Jervis's game is tailor-made for fantasy. He gets rebounds, he gets blocks, he gets all the hustle stats, and they obviously pile up. So I think Jervis, while Bairstow's out, is a very, very good option.
Good stuff for that front court. It's obviously a big stacked front court in Brisbane. Oh, yeah. Moving over to the Cairns Taipans, not many games early on in the season, so this will just be breeze through quickly and we'll rediscover this team later on in the season. Obviously, in the Australian Basketball Challenge, no Mark Worthington, no Stephen Way, no Nature Way, no Travis Trice. They all sat due to injury or other. The good guy to look at is Mitch McCarron for the Cairns Taipans. Obviously, we got to see him in Melbourne, based in Melbourne at the State Basketball Centre when they took on Melbourne United in a couple of preseason games, and he looked the goods. Apart from Cameron Glidden, obviously we know what he's like, but McCarron looked good. 33 average in the Australian Basketball Challenge as well, so that just showed it wasn't any fluke.
Absolutely. I think he's going to be one of the guys to really watch as a rookie. There's obviously a few rookie-priced guys or close to rookie-priced guys that are really, really good options. But I think McCarron, maybe after the first three games, might be, after the first 3 weeks, I should say, might be one of those guys that you look at to kind of bring into your team once the prices start to change and whatnot.
I think the Taipans' schedules actually helped many NBL Dream Team owners because there's a lot of unknown about that. Exactly. Obviously, Jawai injured. Worthington, we know what he's like, but it's guys like Travis Trice, who was average in the preseason games, obviously didn't play in that Australian Basketball Challenge. We've got Nanana Egwu, similar to Jawai, and obviously Faquan Edwin, who's a little bit of an unknown as well. So probably just sit back, watch, see what those guys are like, and see if they can, you know, aid your NBL dream team later on in the season.
Exactly right. Make a decision maybe before round three, before their prices start to change, and see whether they're going up or down or whatnot, and then go from there on the Cairns guys, just before their doubles.
Before we move on to the Illawarra Hawks, you'll notice a third voice in the background. doesn't speak much English, but as you can see, our studio today is a little bit different to other years or other episodes from last year. But we have the very gorgeous white fluffy dog in the background. But Illawarra Hawks, let's move on. Dubs in weeks 2, 3, and 4. So they'll be interesting after round one. You can obviously start them in round one, take the hit, and then reap the benefits in the next 3 weeks. Marvell Harris looks a great fit as one of Rob Beveridge's imports. 43 average in the Australian Basketball Challenge.
He looked very, very impressive. And he looks like you said, he's going to be a great fit. Beveridge tends to get the most out of his imports.
Mm-hmm.
As you saw last year, obviously, Lish is a star already.
But, yes.
But he tends to get the most out of his players in general, not just his imports. So if Harris can obviously continue that at 43, alongside guys like Ogilvy and Clark, he's going to be pretty hard to stop and pretty hard to ignore.
Well, let's talk about those guys that you've just mentioned. AJ Ogilvy, the most expensive player in the game at $204,000. Is he really worth that price, over $200,000 to start the season? Remembering, you know, he's now sharing a front court with guys like Nick Kay and Michael Holyfield.
Well, I seriously looked at Ogilvy
mm-hmm.
to start, knowing that, you know, he's probably good for a 50.
Fair enough, too, because he's 60, an outstanding player.
Exactly. And then they've got the three doubles coming up. But I can't justify paying that price for someone on a single and before I see how they fit
mm-hmm.
with the front court, obviously, they've got now. And,
yep.
And obviously, we've seen them in the preseason. But the real stuff is pretty different to the preseason. The minutes will change. And I just want to see how he goes first in a week. And then there's always time to bring him in before the prices change anyway. So,
yeah, of course. And let's look at the return. Rodney Clark. Everyone loves him. You can't hate him. But 3 seasons ago, he was the league MVP. He was the man at Illawarra that just willed their way into the finals. But 3 years later, is he the unknown coming into this season?
He is a little bit. And I think that's mainly to do with the way he plays, to be honest. He's a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, Beveridge gets the most out of his players and he'll fit the system well and all that kind of stuff. That's not an issue. And that'll make Illawarra stronger. But from a dream team perspective, will it help or hinder his scores? Like, is he going to be that dominant player anymore? He's now got Ogilvy there. He's got 2 more imports. He's got a pretty good roster around him. Will that make him better in terms of dream team? Or is that going to take some points away? So I think you're right. I think he is quite the unknown to start off this season.
Yeah, certainly the unknown. I mean, I'm with the latter. I think it hinders him. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's going to be quite the player we are expecting him to be this season, just due to the fact that, you know, we saw him light up the league 3 years ago. Moving on to Melbourne United. What a team. What can we say about them? They are absolutely stacked. They start with 3 straight doubles. So they've got 2 games in the first 3 rounds. Four doubles in the first 5 weeks, in fact. So this is the team that you definitely want to be looking at stacking your team with alongside Adelaide 36ers. We spoke about Bairstow in Brisbane being worth $60,000. What about David Anderson? He is an absolute freak. He's won titles in Europe over and over again, and he has come into the Dream Team game at $60,000.
You cannot not get David Anderson. If you're not going to get Anderson...
You cannot not get... Yep, got it. So you must have David Anderson.
If you're not picking up David Anderson, I suggest you probably stop playing before this season starts. David Anderson is a lock in every single team, especially not only just because obviously Melbourne's got the 3 doubles to start. He's $60,000. And he's obviously in that preseason game, he produced 60. That's a point per thousand. You're not going to get that too often with anyone. But he's got to be a lock at that price. He has to be.
Well, that's right. Obviously, we talk about Melbourne. They've got such a great fixture to start the season. We talk about the stacked roster. So you've still got to be a little bit wary of who you're picking and why you're picking them, because they've just got so many guys that can score, that can play Dream Team really well, and whether they take points off each other, who's going to be the guy that steps up early. But obviously, David Anderson at $60,000, that's just...
Exactly. His price sells it. That's it. He's a solid player. Who knows what he's going to be like in the Melbourne system, like mm-hmm. you said. all season, whether he's going to be consistent, whether he's going to be, you know, people are taking minutes off him when if they're up by a lot or if they're down by a lot or whatnot. But he is a lock at that price, and he's probably just about the only lock in that team, I think. Like every other team, there's a lot of unknown about the new system having, you know, up to three imports and all these star guys coming back, Australian guys coming back as well. It means that it makes Dream Team, playing Dream Team, a lot harder because there are so many players that can go big, but they're all playing on the same team now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we look at Anderson, they've still got guys around him. Devin Williams, they've brought in, and I know he's been well known due to his goggles, so that hasn't got anything to do with his playing ability. But over the preseason, he's been the guy that hasn't required the ball in his hands for Melbourne, but can still be effective.
That's right, and you look, you compare him, he's a solid option because of that. You compare him to guys like Chris Golding, who need the ball in their hands to score Dream Team, and that's where the risk is involved, obviously. The only other guy in Melbourne that I can think of that's not really a risk is obviously Cedric Jackson, because he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, being the point guard and the star point guard at that. So, and you know he can score with defensively as well, with the stealing and that kind of stuff, and getting out on the break. So I think Anderson, Jackson are the two that stand out, and Devin Williams is probably the next best there because of the way he plays, like you said.
The other player I just want to touch on before we move on is Ramone Moore. Obviously, overseas, he's been well regarded as a scorer, which is something similar to Chris Golding in this United lineup. Ramone Moore will come off the bench, as far as I'm aware, will be that scoring punch for the second unit. So whether he uses that to his advantage Dream Team-wise and can still get his points off the bench, or whether, you know, that ball only goes around so many times in a Melbourne United offense where he doesn't get as many touches as he'd expect, obviously that's just a risk that you'd have to take at 116,000.
Exactly. And I think that he's probably going to have a bit of a price drop early on, purely because of what he's got around him and who's ahead of him, like Golding. So I think he's one to look at a little bit later when their doubles come up again, for the fact that, you know, he might have dropped a little bit and be a pretty good value pick, because obviously he looks like he can play. There's no worries about that. It's just whether he's going to fit in early or what's going to happen. There'll be some stage where he strings a couple of good scores together. It's just about picking him up at the right time, I think.
Let's move west to Perth in our next team preview. Two doubles in the first 3 weeks. And really, in Perth, you're looking at their imports. Obviously, Casey Prather is the first one to look at. Let's touch on Matt Knight. He's out with injury for the first few weeks. Obviously, we don't know too much about his injury recovery. But Casey Prather, is he too expensive or is he a lock at $139,000?
Wouldn't say he's a lock, but he's still a very good option, I think. We know what you're going to get from him.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, obviously, he took a little while to warm into the season. But that was his first.
As most Perth imports do.
Correct. And they know what they're doing over in Perth, just quietly. So I think Prather won't take that time this season.
Yep.
He's been there. He's in the system. Most of the roster is pretty similar, obviously, by the imports and around him and whatnot. So I think he's going to take off where he left off last season. I don't think there's going to be any easing into this season for Prather.
And I'll tell you what, he was rocking the headband at the Australian Basketball Challenge. Hopefully that stays on, makes a little bit of a monarch for him. But Jaron Johnson comes from the D-League, completely different setup in the D-League compared to the NBL. Obviously for Perth fans, they're hoping that his transition is quite an easy one. Average 37 at the ABC, but a little bit of a risky pick early on.
I think so. I think both him and Jamil McKay, they had good scores at the ABC.
Yep.
But do you trust those scores? Perth is usually a team that's pretty well balanced. They share the load, and I can't see that changing with the roster they've got again. Sure, the three imports look like they're the standouts, but do you take that 37 average at face value, or do you think that might come down a little bit during the season and just wait and see maybe on Johnson?
That's fair enough. You touched on Jamil McKay, obviously the big guy out at the Wildcats. I think he's something similar to a Devin Williams, Majuk. Even Nick Cade a little bit, doesn't need the ball that much, can get offensive rebounds, can pile up your defensive rebounds, swat a few shots here and there, and you do that, the points just continue to pile up and you get a half decent score out of him.
For that reason, I think he's a better option than Johnson.
Yep.
He's going to be able to get rebounds, like you said, with Knight out early as well. It's obviously going to help him scoring-wise for Dream Team. He's going to be getting more touches, more of the ball. He's going to be on the court more, most likely. So I think he's probably a better option than Johnson if you want to take a risk at that 116K price tag. So look at him maybe if you're looking for a Perth import.
We went west. Now let's go all the way east. Let's look at the New Zealand Breakers, obviously the only team outside of Australia. China hasn't come in yet, although you saw a couple of shoddy teams in the Australian Basketball Challenge, but we'll quickly skip past that. No Penny, Kirk Penny and no Corey Webster at that preseason tournament up in Brisbane, which means a little bit hard to gauge on what the score is going to be looking like, who's going to slot in for who. The doubles come later in terms of fixturing, so certainly a team similar to Cairns, because there's a lot of unknown about the Breakers, speaking of No Penny and Webster at that preseason tournament. But we look at someone like Alex Pledger, who's had an interesting past in the Dream Team. Obviously, injury has marred his seasons every now and then, but can be a solid look-in this season?
I think Pledger is always a solid look-in because we know what he can produce. Whether he's under an injury cloud or he's got niggles along the way greatly affects that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's capable of being, I wouldn't say a fantasy stud, but pretty high up
there. A solid contributor.
Exactly. Having Rob Lowe there with him now isn't ideal, probably, for his fantasy scores. And they'll probably take some time off each other, and they're both pretty similar players. But I think Pledger, at his price, maybe not, but have a look at him. Maybe when do their doubles start? Round three. After round two, see what his price is going to do, and then maybe make a decision on Pledger.
Well, we talk about that Pledger-Lowe combination. Obviously, Rob Lowe's coming back to New Zealand to play for the Breakers. He'll be backing up Pledger to start the season. And in my opinion, in terms of depth charts and whatnot, those two will pretty much be fighting it out all season to see who gets that starting role come the end of the year. So certainly something to watch out. Obviously, Rob Lowe's dirt cheap at the moment. So if you're going to bank on Rob Lowe being the star and taking Pledger's role, take him now and take the rise. Let's look at some of the imports. Akil Mitchell won the dunk contest at the preseason tournament and pretty much didn't do much else.
I was going to say, that was about it, wasn't it? Dunk contest.
What was a little bit of a shadow throughout Breakers games, but I'll tell you who wasn't a shadow, Ben Woodside, the point guard for the Breakers, arguably replacing Cedric Jackson. I know there's been a lot of talk over the preseason that that's not his role and that's not what he's there to do, but certainly a good player to replace him with, because Woodside's one to keep in the bank. He can produce some solid points later on in the season.
Absolutely. I think he looked very good, and he's going to be a very good option based on that he looks like he's going to fit in to the Breakers system, and he looks like he's going to play a pretty big role in their team. So if he can produce those scores in the first two rounds before his price goes up, I think he's one to jump on maybe before round three when the doubles start, so, or one to look at least, at the very least.
Last but not least, we head to Sydney for the Kings. Four doubles in 5 weeks if you don't count round one. So from round two onwards, they have four doubles in 5 weeks. We spoke about David Anderson being the $60,000 man. Brad Newley is in the exact same situation. He is the second of two non-negotiables.
Oh, absolutely. He's arguably, you'd say he's more of a lock than Anderson. And if you're not starting with both those guys, then give up. No, he's at 60K. You've got to take Newley, even though they got the single in the first game. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, that's right. Jason Gadde went 20 of 25. It's been well advertised in the 3-point shootout. Obviously, he's the next Stephen Curry. It's been going on social media. But look, let's not go that far. Gadde, in a Dream Team sense, has always been that risky guy that, you know, similar to Chris Goldie a little bit, to a T, because he needs the ball in his hands.
Yeah, and he's a very streaky player, Jason Gadde. When he's on, he's piling up Dream Team points like you would not believe in the space of minutes. But when he's off, he's obviously not a very, very big scorer. I think if his role is a big role. If he's a starter in the Kings team, and we saw this last season, when he started, he was much, much more effective Dream Team-wise than when he was coming off the bench and playing behind someone. So I think a lot depends on what his role and how many minutes he's going to be getting under Gaze this year.
I'm going to give a little bit of an opinion on Jason Kadee here, because without Josh Childress last year, he was unbelievable.
Yes.
He was the guy that you wanted to pick up on the Sydney Kings. Josh Childress has obviously departed, which is great for Kadee's value. Unfortunately, Gaze has signed a guy called Kevin Lish. He's your point guard. He's going to have the ball in your hands.
Yep.
Jason Kadee, you just slot over to the two and do nothing. Well, actually, don't. I'll take that back. Don't do nothing. Just catch and shoot and do your thing. Dream team-wise, that is awful.
Yep.
I'd stay clear of Jason Kadee for now,
yep,
at least.
Yep, I agree with that.
Julian Kazoo, obviously a great player, but finding it hard to get on the court earlier this season as his injury is a concern. That focus shifts to guys like Alex Marich, who is dirt cheap, and Tommy Gallup.
Yet another one, Alex Marich, former Boomer.
They're stacking him up, aren't they, in the NBL?
Yep, he's 49K, very hard to ignore. The only problem is he's not a DPP like most of the rest of the guys, so mm-hmm. you have to take him at centre. And if you're happy to take him at centre and stick him on your bench, then there's no reason why you wouldn't pick up Alex Marich.
$49,000 for Alex Marich. That'll cost you. Tommy Gallup's in a similar situation. If Julian Kazoo comes back, I don't think Gallup's going to be your dream team goldmine like he was last season.
I think Gallup is very similar to Kadee in terms of depending on who's on the court with him. Mm-hmm. He will either flourish or fall flat on his face.
And what's his role in that situation? Yeah. Just finally on the Sydney Kings, where's the rest of their team? They've only signed 9 guys. They've still got 2 guys to come.
Very interesting. a week out from the season.
Gazy, don't worry about your media personalities, and let's get Leonard and Dean Vickenham to sign some dudes.
Maybe Gazy and Leonard are suiting
up. Oh.
Maybe they're the final two.
You might be onto something. Maybe they're coming out of retirement. They're the final two. All right, well, love to see what their price is on NBL Dream Team. They could be locks as well. Let's look into some tips for the year, because obviously we hit round one. Some guys are rookies. Some guys have been playing Dream Team for a year or two, and some guys are experts, unlike us.
Correct.
So the first tip that we're going to give is looking at trades. You get 30 trades for the year. Trade early and trade late. Obviously, the middle part is where you win games, but you don't have to change your team as much. Trade early because obviously those price rises, you're going to get the extra money you can bank and you can go back and get cheapies. And trading late is what's going to win your finals.
Planning is super important, more so than in any other format of Dream Team. The NBL, with the how many, you know, the schedule, how it works with the two, teams playing doubles, teams getting buys, you have to plan ahead. You have to plan for stretches at a time and see who you're going to be bringing in, how long they're going to be in your team. Obviously, you can't plan for injuries, and that's a different kettle of fish. But if you plan ahead and somewhat lock in your team, get the players in from the teams that are playing the doubles at the time, your scores will improve, and obviously you're not going to have to make as many trades, hopefully.
So that's a great tip too. Think 2 steps ahead, because you're always going to know what you can do now, but what are you going to do with your team later and in different situations?
Exactly, and that starts right now. You don't want to pick up guys from Cairns. You can wait a week for guys like from Illawarra and from Sydney, and then lock them in once you've seen what they're like, and hopefully, obviously, that'll be beneficial.
For sure. The third and final tip is back yourself, because obviously, listening to us, you're going to get half an idea, but you're not going to get the full idea, because we are far from experts.
Half is generous.
With the roster changes this season, it's certainly made it a lot harder for NBL Dream Team players this season. There is a lot of unknown. What goes on? Who's going to be good? The players, what their pricing is. Obviously, we've seen guys like David Anderson and Brad Newley being locks, but then you're going to have to take a risk on a few other guys.
Absolutely, and I think that the longer, like obviously the teams, like I just said before, when we've got teams playing singles early, then it's a lot easier to gauge those guys, because you don't have to bring them in for the early rounds. You can go with other options that are playing doubles and take risks on those guys. But if the teams like Perth, Melbourne, not so much. I guess you know what you're getting from David Anderson, or you should know what you're getting from David Anderson.
Yep.
But guys like
Devin Williams,
that's his name.
Devin Williams, Jamil McKay,
yep.
Ramone Moore to a point.
Yep. pretty much Brisbane's whole roster.
Brisbane's whole roster.
And obviously Jacobson, who's injured.
Yep.
In Adelaide and Drimmick, and I know he's a lot cheaper, but mm-hmm. Terrence.
Yeah, still Ferguson. To a point.
So all those guys that you have to look at because they're on doubles early are the guys that are going to cause headaches, I guess. And then everyone else, all the other teams that have singles, you can kind of ease your way in and suss them out in the first round or two and then bring them in.
Just before we wrap up episode one of the 2016-17, the pick and roll box score, let's take a look at some template teams. If some of our listeners out there are thinking, oh, who should we start with? Let's create a base, at least to a point. Obviously, we've got five template teams coming at you next. Obviously, all of them have incorporated David Anderson from Melbourne and Brad Newley from Sydney. If you haven't already understood that we're high on those two guys yet, maybe switch it off now.
Yep.
But template number one, let's look at the forwards. Daniel Johnson, Greg Whittington from Sydney. We haven't spoken a bit too much about him, but he's a flyer we're prepared to take. Torrey Craig, I'm high on, and Mitch Creek, obviously the captain from Adelaide. The centres, Jameel McKay from Perth, and there's that David Anderson from Melbourne. And the guards, Cedric Jackson, Brad Newley, Brendan Tayes, and Mitch McCarron, a couple of cheapies in there.
Very solid team there, all-round solid team. You get points from your bench in NBL Dream Team, so it's pretty important to have a well-rounded team, guys that are going to score on the bench. And look, if all those guys fit in the team, then that's a pretty solid all-round team, to be honest.
Let's look at team number two, forwards. There's that man, David Anderson again, Jameel McKay, Brad Newley's in there, and New Zealand's Rob Lowe. For the centres, AJ Ogilvy, someone's prepared to pay the price on him. Alex Marich, and at the guards, Jerome Randall, Cedric Jackson, Jared Weeks, and Brendan Tayes. Team looks all right on paper.
Yeah, I think just quickly, we'll touch on Weeks, because yep. I think that's someone we overlooked. He was very solid in Illawarra last year, coming off the bench. He is a live wire, obviously, and that's the way they play. They were very offensive, offensively minded.
Yep.
So it obviously helped his game. But with injuries and guys, you know, borderline whether they're going to be playing early on in Cairns, then Weeks is probably a nice option at 57K. Obviously, they don't have a great schedule to start. They've got three singles in a row, but he's still there to look at as your cheapie on the bench and someone that might rise in price early on.
Certainly. We look towards Team 3, and we think this is going to more so invite Perth Wildcats fans, because we've sort of put this team around Damian Martin's unique price.
Yes, and he is awkwardly priced at 95K.
Yeah.
But we know what he can produce.
That's right.
He's had big, big fantasy seasons in the past, and obviously he's getting to the tail end of his career. There's no stepping around that. But if he can get fit and play a big role, then 95K is probably unders for Damo.
So in the forward positions, we've got teammate Casey Prather, David Anderson and Brad Newley. There they are again. Mitch Young from Brisbane. The centres, Daniel Johnson and Rob Lowe. And in your guards, Damian Martin, Anthony Drimmick, Jerome Randall and Rodney Clark.
The Rot.
The Rot. First signing of him. team number four, we looked at players that love the imports.
Yes.
You look at Dream Team, there's a lot of fans out there that just love to see the import crop come in. They go, yeah, I'm picking him, him and him, and that's going to be my team. May or may not work most years, but team number four, taking a flyer on the imports at the forwards, Melbourne's Devon Williams, David Anderson, Brad Newley, and Rob Lowe. Centre, you've got import Jameel McKay and then Brisbane's Tom Jervis. And at the guards, you've got imports Casey Prather and Terrence Ferguson, and on the bench, Anthony Drimmick and Mitch Creek.
I think, again, that's a pretty solid all-round team, and I think the imports are the key. If you can pick the right ones, they're obviously at a reasonable price and you're going to be able to fit a lot around them, especially with guys like Anderson and Newley in at a cheap price as well. So if you can find the right imports that are going to score well, then you'll set yourself up for the rest of the season, really.
Yeah, certainly. And then just finally, the fifth and final team is looking at guys, if you wanted to start with Kevin Lish and AJ Ogilvy, obviously two of the most expensive players in the game, if not the most expensive players in the game. But we're going to fit some guys around them if you wanted to start those two. At the forward spots, Casey Prather, David Anderson, Brad Newley, and Rob Lowe. At the centres, there's AJ Ogilvy and Alex Marich. And in the guards, Kevin Lish, Cedric Jackson, Brendan Tayes, and Mitch McCarron.
So there's a bit of a theme developing there in the forwards.
Yes, there certainly
Anderson,
is.
Anderson, Newley, and Lowe. Look, I think they've both got singles to start off with, Ogilvy and Lish.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also both produce scores that are double like. So the risk is there, and the price is a turnoff, obviously. But if you do want those bona fide superstars, fantasy superstars in your team from day one, there is, obviously, we just saw there is a way to fit them in, and there's plenty of options around them. Obviously, you've still got guys like Cedric Jackson, Casey Prather, David Anderson around them, and some really good bench options there as well. So there is a way to do it.
So there's just five or so template teams if you're looking at ways to kick off your 2016-17 NBL Dream Team career. Whether you're a first-timer, you've been playing for a little while, or you're, you know, a seasoned veteran like a few of us, we wish you the best of luck. We hope you come back for episode two, because this has been episode one of Box Score. Steve Chalmers, Dean Zardo, coming at you each and every week. As I said, we wish you the best of luck. And we'll see you next week, Dean. Looking forward to it.
Indeed.
Best of luck for round one.
Let's get it underway.
We'll see you next week, guys.